Welcome back to the Buffalo Bread Podcast. Dan and JJ here with you Saturday morning before the Buffalo Bills take on the New England Patriots at home Sunday night football, week 5. Bills coming into this game 5-0, and the New England Patriots 2-2, in second place in the AFC East, while the Bills lead. This game could be the early season stamp your foot on your division. We are heading to the playoffs. Let's lock up the seeds and go. Statement from the Bills. Or it could be one of those excruciating, annoying losses to a team that isn't quite there or on their level that we've suffered so many times. Look to every best Patriots game of their whole season, the Super Bowl type game, for a new coaching staff under Mike Vrabel and a second year quarterback with Drake May. What do you think, Dan?
Are those our only two options that we,
yes.
we yeah, get to absolutely. Pick from?
Yeah, absolutely. It's you either stomp on their throat 35-10 in the first half, or it's a nail biter to the end and they win. That's it. Those are the two.
I think we're going to get into this as we talk about this game, but I think based off the New Orleans game, there are things that the Bills are doing offensively and defensively that will require adjustment against this New England Patriots team. I'm stunned at the spread at this point and how high it is in this game. And there's been a lot of action on that. JJ, ultimately, the reason I ask why those are only two options is I have no idea how this game is going to play out. Though listeners, please continue to listen to the pod, even though we're not probably going to give you an accurate prediction here. But I do think everyone's billing this as a litmus test for the Bills, but there are things that the Patriots do that I think if you are the Bills in week 5, this is a good litmus test for where you've been a little bit weak, where you've been challenged by subpar teams. And I think the Patriots do some things well that are going to be an interesting litmus test to see, are we actually getting improvement out of this Bills squad? That's why I go kind of with a third option. I go with the third option of, I think this game is going to be closer than we think for comfort, but I think it's going to be clean competitive. Unlike the Saints game, I don't think this game is going to be us watching the Bills shoot themselves in the foot on offense and defense for like the second, third quarters of the game. I think I plan on seeing, especially with the return of Ed Oliver and Matt Milano, I see the Bills improving in some key areas on defense, but I see a well-coached Patriots team that's also starting to hit their stride that's going to give the Bills some fits in places. I'm expecting a clean, competitive game that is going to be close, not a necessarily, why do the Bills constantly do this to lesser competition type of thing, which we have seen, I would argue, the past 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, and I think that we've talked about it before when we did our kind of this state of the season, better, you know, same or worse exercise last week. Josh Allen is locked in. Like we can all remember early Josh career moments where you saw the like panic in his eyes and you knew he was about to either do something magnificent or horrifying. That Josh is gone. This is a mature, assembled person who is every single bit the MVP that he earned last year and years prior, but was finally awarded last year in terms of acknowledgement and expertise in this offense. And I think on the other side of the ball, you have Drake May, who's like a mini Josh Allen at this point in his early career, in that he does some of the same things. He can absolutely kill you through his legs, and he is the number one rated passer in the NFL right now, especially when passing from a clean pocket. So, you know, I think you're right in that there's not the higher variability with this Bills offense that there was in years past because of Josh Allen and Joe Brady working together. Also the fact that the Bills are the best rushing team in the league right now, and James Cook doesn't seem to be, you know, slowing down anytime soon. But yeah, I think that the variability comes in with Drake May. There are, you know, he is sackable. He does make mistakes. But they are both, you know, giant Viking warriors.
Again, why I think this is going to be a really good game. JJ, before we get into the full preview of the Pats itself, any takeaways or anything from the Saints game that you would like to see either change or continue heading into the Pats game? I mean, I think we can both say with confidence the second and third quarters offensively for the Bills were just atrocious, absolutely atrocious against the Saints. And it is mind boggling as to why we have a QB playing at such a high level and a running back playing at such a high level, why that offense stalled out against that defense for so long of a stretch. I mean, listen, couch offensive coordinators are blaming Brady for it. And I don't blame Brady after going back and rewatching some of the film and some key snaps. But I do think there's a like a rope-a-dope thing going on with Brady and the way he is setting up some of his future play calls in the middle quarters that I do think needs to change. But what did you see, particularly from the offense against the Saints, that you want to see improve or maybe get more consistent here against the Pats?
Well, I think for me, it was a sense of it was similar to some other games we've seen with Brady and Allen together recently, where I could tell what the plan was. And it sort of reminded me a little bit of going back to the previous offensive coordinator, whose name escapes me right now, who I think is still
Ken Dorsey.
Ken Dorsey. Yeah. It sort of reminded me a little bit of Ken Dorsey's offense at times, where it was like, okay, I get the design of the play. I understand where they're supposed to be moving the ball to in this play call on this snap, but they were really counting on seven or eight pieces going perfectly right for that to be open. And that's not the NFL, right? Like, there's not every person on your team is going to win their one-on-one matchup. There was some arrogance to it that I feel like was disrespectful to the Saints defense, and the Saints defense made them pay for that arrogance. There were definitely defensive linemen who kind of stood up to matchups that the Bills didn't think they'd be able to defeat, split double teams, those sorts of things. And so I think that's what I saw from the offense at times, was it seemed like, oh, we need three critical blocks to spring this run play or the shovel pass to Khalil Shakir on fourth down. Like, we need Ryan Vandermark, who's not a great pulling tackle, to pull through the hole and crush this block. And he didn't. And I don't think it has any fault, because I think he had a great game overall filling in. But it was that kind of thing where it was like, I understand what you're trying to get done here, but the execution was either poor or sloppy, or you just had way too many moving parts. You were trying to, be too cute about it rather than just do what you needed to do. Like, they calmed things down in the fourth quarter and were just running the ball with James Cook and playing and doing under center play action off of it to, wide receivers, which I think is their bread and butter this season. And hopefully they've learned, why complicate things? You don't need to out trick yourselves, right? Like, make the defense stop you at what you're exceptional at.
And that was the thing I saw in that Saints game, JJ. You mentioned specifically the play action that I thought was a really nice adjustment. We have banged the drum on this pod since I think Brady became the OC, that we want to see more play action, particularly more first down play action. Try to get some chunk yards, improve that first down efficiency. You're so good at running the ball with James Cook on first down. Everyone is keying in on that kind of stuff. I think what I saw Brady do too, and this is my only criticism of Brady, is like a boxer who, the famous rope-a-dope, right, that Muhammad Ali pulled off against, I think it was George Foreman, right? Like, constantly lull the defense into a sense of predictability. I mean, they were smashing the button, JJ, on this compressed offense, throws no more than like 6 or 7 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. And I do think ultimately that's going to become a problem if that trend persists later on down the season. But then, to your point, in the fourth quarter, we see some first down play action. Jackson Hawes gets a shot. James Cook gets a shot. And you start to see what Brady has been setting up the Saints for so long, because this passing offense doesn't necessarily put a team in individual conflict, because we know we don't have a dude. Everybody eats, right? So there's not a single player like a la Stephon Diggs that'll put the defense in conflict and force them to double. Brady, over and over again, was trying to manufacture that conflict and finally got it there in the fourth quarter. In particular, a lot of these check down shots that Allen was hitting to James Cook out of the backfield, he ran a lot of those looks as Cook is the first read out of 12 personnel. And then we saw out of 21 personnel too, which was the touchdown, 45-yard touchdown to Dalton Kincaid. You see when you watch it on film that after James Cook had kind of eaten them up with four previous catches in that middle zone of the field area, you finally see safety help get sucked in. Then you see Brady add the wrinkle of also putting Ty Johnson out of the backfield, who everyone is aware when he is on the field is a threat to catch the ball. He pulls in the slot corner. So then all of a sudden, you've got Kincaid streaking to the outside against a cornerback for New Orleans who's expecting safety help over the top, but it's not there because it got sucked in by Cook. And then boom, 45-yard explosive play. My only criticism of Brady, because you can see him as you watch his sequencing throughout the game, even that dead period in the second and third quarter set that up, you can see his sequencing leading to that moment. My only criticism is, can we get to that moment without blowing two straight quarters? You know what I mean? Can we create that conflict earlier on? And that's what I want to see against the Patriots. I want to see more first down play action right off the bat. And I want to see them with some of these 12 and 21 personnel looks, put the Patriots in real defensive conflicts so that we can actually scheme some of our guys open.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like they're working a little too hard to establish things that they've already established on film.
Yes.
They should lean on the fact that defenses are going to play them in ways that will open things up if they just give them the right looks without having to, like you said, lull them in over a course of 17 plays and three quarters and four punts and an interception, right? Like, we need to
just have
a sense of urgency. Trust that the other team is going to have some tendencies based on what you've shown, and just get to the wrinkles, you know, faster. Yeah, I think that's a great observation. And speaking about that Saints game, you know, I think we both had the measure of the game pretty even up when we did our pod last week, in that, you know, I had predicted 35-18 Bills over Saints. They win 31-19. You'd predicted 28-17. So we were like kind of right there in the strike zone of what we expected it to be. Neither of us presumed it was going to be a 42-3 kind of drubbing, like the, you know, some of the odds makers were saying with the 15 plus point spread. But it, you know, we were kind of, you know, no Deion Walker sack, unfortunately, a couple of good plays. And then Keon Coleman, I don't think he had a 20 plus yard reception. Did he? He had three for 45. Yeah.
He did not. Yeah. I mean, he was efficient.
But yeah, he was solid.
He didn't have an explosive.
Yeah. So I think there was, like, you know, it's weird. NFC matchup. The Bills get, you know, Josh Allen gets sacked three times, which I think is a kind of a surprise, especially since at least two of them I thought were ones he usually doesn't take. And so it was a weird game. I think that, you know, it tells me a lot about where this Bills team is, that it could look like such a poor performance could feel like such a poor performance for half the game and they still win 31-19, right? Like, this, it's been such a long time. And I think a word that you've used to describe this offense that I love, it's been such a long time since the Bills offense seemed inevitable, right? Even in the Josh Allen era, there have been seasons where we're like, I don't know, are we going to get one on this possession? But the last 2 years, 2.5 years, it's been like, okay, we don't worry about points, right? Like, we worry about our opponent's points, but we don't worry about Bill's points.
Exactly. I have faith in Brady that, to your point, he's got more wrinkles. It is not about points, right? It's about game script, which we know the Bills from their strategies last year needed to control game script in a certain way. And they have, over the past 2 weeks, ceded control of that script back to the opposing team. And that's really more what I'm talking about. We are not sitting here complaining that the Bills have scored 30 points, at least 30 points or more, to open up their first four games of the season. What we are saying is they're allowing teams that should be, I don't want to say lesser competition, because in the NFL, anybody can beat anybody, right? But they are allowing teams control over certain aspects of the game where the Bills have obvious personnel advantages. And when that happens, you always look to scheme to be like, all right, what is happening? What is happening here? Brady is not predictable, right? He is just taking a really long time to get things ramped up in game. And I think the Bills need to address that quicker, particularly as the competition's going to stiffen up. The Patriots, and we're going to talk about it, they're a solid football team. They've had some up and down performances, and I get they're coming off a win against the Panthers, but that is a team that is getting healthy. Christian Gonzalez back in the lineup, it looks like, right? And it is a team that is figuring out the schemes that they want to run on offense too, with a really young, very dynamic QB that presents a lot of issues that the Buffalo Bills have not been able to address, i.e. someone who can scramble on third down, right? Someone who can use their legs to buy time in the pocket. So yeah, I just think the Bills are going to need some of that, to your point, inevitability on offense, but some of that consistency on offense too, if they are going to get back to controlling game script in the way that they need to kind of hide the warts on this defense until we get all our guys back.
Yeah, and I think that that's a good point to you know, talk about the guys on defense a little bit. The Bills this weekend at the injury report, it's not looking good, Dan.
we say that every week.
I know. Starting right tackle Spencer Brown, questionable. Starting inside linebacker Matt Milano, questionable. Best defensive tackle Ed Oliver, questionable. Bad but hopeful rookie defensive tackle TJ Sanders, questionable. And then Dorian Strong, Dorian Williams, it's a bad week to be named Dorian, both out this weekend. So you know, when you have five defensive players questionable or out of a preferred starting unit, or mostly for three of five starting unit, that is a lot of juice out of your 11 starting defensive players to be missing. So especially against a team in the Patriots who is, 10th in the league in points scored per game. They are middle of the pack in yards per game, pretty high, high in the rankings in terms of passing offense, low in rushing, but, middle of the pack in time possession, 10th best in the league with third down efficiency. And so they're a team that is not joking around. And I mentioned before that Drake May is a little bit like young Josh Allen in that he's variable and probably takes more sacks and has more turnover worthy plays than he should at this stage, but is also one of the best passers in the league so far this season. So it looks like he really has kind of clicked in place. I'm just hoping that for the Bills' sake, this isn't, Drake May's version of Josh Allen's 2020 season where he shows up in the MVP conversations.
Yeah.
We don't need that. We don't need that smoke yet.
Dude, and that's a good place to jump into this preview, I think, because I am, of course, always interested in what our offense is going to do against the opposing team's defense. But I do think, just because of the injuries that you mentioned, because of the deficiencies that we've seen on defense with our squad, I want to start there. I want to start with this New England Patriots offense against our Buffalo Bills defense. The New England Patriots, JJ, they are, in terms of win rates for both pass blocking and run blocking, night and day, right? The inefficiency of this New England Patriots team to establish the run is not because of their offensive line. They're actually fifth in run block win rate. The issue has been they have not been able to figure out the right cocktail of their skill players behind Drake May in order to lead the charge on the ground. And I think they began to correct a lot of that against Carolina, where you saw Stevenson take less of the snap share and you saw Henderson, their dynamic rookie running back, get more in both traditional run reps and pass catches out of the backfield. So the numbers to me here 4 weeks in don't tell the whole story about this New England Patriots rushing attack, because I do think they're going to lead a little bit harder into their rookie, because they've seen how a pass catching running back can absolutely put this Bills defense on its heels. And I would anticipate with a solid, not great, but solid offensive line that knows how to block in the run game, I would anticipate that the New England Patriots are going to take the air out of the ball, and they are going to run the ball very, very hard against the Buffalo Bills. And the Bills are going to have to make a stand against that run game early. And again, this is where game script on the offensive side for us is going to come into play too. Because if you let Henderson and May do what Rattler and Kamara did last week, it's going to be a very, very long night for this Bills team. And they've got to take advantage of their opportunities against what is a good run blocking offensive line, but it is not a good pass blocking offensive line. And to your point, Drake May is a QB that will take sacks despite his mobility, right? He's still a second year player. He still takes a half second longer than he should to make some of his decisions. So I think if you're the Buffalo Bills, it's all got a shocker start in the trenches where the Bills have not been great. Getting Ed Oliver back to me is going to be big. And I'm going to be curious, JJ, to see, and I'd love your take on this. Let's say Oliver, he was limited in practice, but he has been practicing, which is a good sign that he may play. If Oliver is in there, are we seeing more of DaQuan Jones next to him, or are we seeing more Deion Walker in key situations next to Ed Oliver? What's your take? What do you think?
So I think that if it's a passing down, it's absolutely going to be Deion Walker. Because I think DaQuan Jones has not looked bad this season. He's looked solid. He's looked better than he did many points last season in terms of looking healthy, looking, you know, not looking his age in a lot of ways. And so I think we actually see more Deion Walker because I think that his juice in a pass rush has forced teams to double him on clear passing downs, third and longs, that they have not had anybody other than Ed Oliver that the team was worried about in those situations. And so I think that it's a matter of you force a matchup problem for the interior three offensive linemen and say, okay, pick which person you want to one up. Can you handle them between, you know, Ed Oliver and Deion Walker? Because I think DaQuan Jones has been, he's shown to win one-on-one matchups in certain high leverage passing downs, but he has not, he's not been as effective against double teams in those same situations. So I think they lean into the rook with a little bit more size.
Yeah, DaQuan Jones, to your point, doubled on 72% of his snaps so far this season when he's on the field. And his sack production, he's leading the team in sacks. He's got two here through 4 weeks. A lot of that is Bosa chasing guys into him because Bosa's been such a maniac off the edge, which is the next place I want to go. We are very likely to see JJ Joey Bosa versus Will Campbell, the highly touted, somewhat high variance right now, rookie left tackle for the New England Patriots. Campbell, a little banged up, dealing with some injuries. He's had some up games. He's had some down games. But overall, he is so far the weak link in pass pro on that New England Patriots defense or offensive line. He has given up the most QB pressures on Drake May out of any other individual in that lineup. JJ, I think exclusively Joey Bosa should be rushing Will Campbell mercilessly in this game. Joey Bosa has 15 QB pressures so far this season, leads the team in that respective category. And I was looking at his get off because he just looks, I get in space against speedy running backs, he's looked a little bad. But part of that, too, is because he is so quick off the ball and he finds, as a result, in run stops, he finds himself way out of position because he's not maintaining integrity. He just wants to kill the QB. His get off, JJ, for however oft injured old player he is, 0.79 seconds. It's seventh in the league right now amongst all defensive linemen. Joey Bosa has been an absolute maniac for this squad. And I love the matchup of him against Will Campbell because I'm not so confident about the other side of the defensive pass rush here. Greg Rousseau, I don't know what's going on. His get off is like exactly where it's been for the past few years. His pressure rate way down. And dude, his time to pressure. So Bosa's time to pressure, 2.72 seconds. Mm-hmm. Greg Rousseau.
Isn't it like 4.3 or something?
It's almost double that. Yeah. It's almost double that of Bosa's. So like Rousseau gets off the line quick and then he is just getting clogged up in a lot of one-on-one matchups. Yes, he tends to get chipped. He gets the tight end chip on his side of the field. But I mean, he's just getting clogged up in a lot of one-on-one matchups, which you would not expect for a newly paid $20 million a year pass rusher.
Well, it's worrying. I think all Bills fans, you know, have the PTSD of Marcell Dareus, who had these like two great seasons at the end of his rookie contract and then just took it out of gear and was terrible the rest of his life, like at football, like, you know, was traded and then out of the league in 3 years later, you know. So like and I think that people knew Marcell was that guy when he was a rookie just because of the choices he was making. I don't think Greg Rousseau seems to be that guy. He seems to be a little bit of a hard worker and like care about doing a good job at it. But it is worrying that that he has disappeared. I mean, he's got a bone bruise in his knee or something like that. So he's playing through because they've needed help. But I'm not super excited about it. And it's the same thing we've always talked about. The Bills, I mean, their best outside pass rusher is a late stage, oft injured veteran, right? Like it's no different from years, you know, the years in the past when we were always like, can't they just get this thing right with one drafted, you know, outside pass rusher? And now they have Landon Jackson, who even with injuries has been on the shelf because apparently in practice he's showing absolutely nothing worthwhile to bring up onto the active roster in a game. So I'm worried. I'm worried because Will Campbell, fourth overall pick this year's draft at left tackle. It can be had. I think that their guards, let's see, like Jared Wilson, who was also drafted this year at left guard, has looked okay. Aglone Wenyu at right guard has always been their best offensive lineman, like year over year. Garrett Bradbury is, you know, what I like about Garrett Bradbury is his pass blocking. So that's maybe not the person you want to attack. But run blocking wise, he can get washed out. He's not great at climbing to the second level and those sorts of things. So there should be opportunities off the edge, but that's what we thought last year or last week. And that's what we thought 2 weeks ago against the Dolphins, right? Like the Bills have seen some very, very poor offensive lines the last few weeks and have still not seemed to be able to get it done. Last week, of course, the Bills had three sacks. Almost all of those came in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. With Joey Bosa and then AJ Epinesa. It was like two Bosa sacks, but AJ Epinesa was credited with one and he's still celebrating it today. You know,
might be the only one he gets.
Right. Like he just goes back to Highmark Stadium and like just jumps up and down and waves his freaking hands in the air every night just for fun because of that one sack he had. I don't know. I think that one thing we haven't talked about at all, and we really should, about this defense versus the Patriots offense, Stephon Diggs, man. What do you think? Stephon Diggs returning to Highmark Stadium.
I think Drake May is going to target him 24 times and is going to make sure that even if it is first and on goal to go on the 1 yard line, he is throwing three straight passes to Stephon Diggs to try to get him a touchdown. I think this is where the Bills can potentially exploit it. I mean, listen, Stephon Diggs, he is leading that New England Patriots team in targets, and which is shocking because you have Hunter Henry on that team, and Henry is still a legitimate offensive weapon. Diggs has looked good. I mean, don't get me wrong. He's looked okay for them. He's doing exactly what they need him to do. But I mean, listen, Christian Benford versus Stephon Diggs, that's a matchup I am very curious to see. I think Diggs is going to command targets. I think you saw how emotional he was in that Houston versus Bills game last season after that win. His return to Highmark Stadium, he is an emotional player. He's a competitive player, and he is going to be a very loud squeaky wheel on the sideline if things are not going his way or this offense's way very, very early on. And I think it could be in conflict with the strategy that the Patriots are going to run out, because again, they're going to want to run the ball. They're going to want to run the ball against a defense that has proven they cannot stop the run. Add to the fact, too, that the Bills are going to be susceptible, unless something changes, against Drake May, 3rd and 5, 3rd and 7, scrambles as well. May and Allen, it's almost identical. They are 6 and 7, respectively, in scramble rates for QBs this season. And May gets his most juice in unscripted scrambles on 3rd and long or greater. So I can see Diggs getting frustrated with that really, really quick. I really can. And it'll be interesting to see if he is almost exclusively on Benford or if we see him line up in the slot a little bit more and we see him on Taron Johnson at all. I think whoever is on Diggs, you got to be physical with him at the point of attack, at the line of scrimmage, without a doubt. I want to see them beat him up a la Gabe Davis in that Jags game last season.
Well, and we know, they were ruthless with Gabe Davis. You wouldn't think they even liked him, while he was in Buffalo, based on the way they treated him as an opposing, wide receiver. And I agree completely. I think if they get inside of Diggs' head, he could become the Bills' best player on the Patriots sideline, right? Like you paid him $30 million last year when he wasn't playing for you. So he still owes you, some favorable, production, and his production might be just sowing seeds of dissent if the Bills are able to get ahead on the scoreboard, and he's what he believes is underutilized in the recovery effort of that game. So absolutely, we've seen from multiple playoff games when Diggs was on the roster that if you are physical with him, you can take him out of the game very early because he just gets frustrated and then he plays sloppy. And so that may be the strategy. But I do think that between Mac Hollins, our other, I'd say of the two former Bills wide receivers on the outside there, everyone feels a little better about Mac Hollins, even though Stephon Diggs had pretty legendary stats for this team and was a cornerstone for 4 years before it got weird. I think that people miss Mac Hollins more, and he's also looked good. He leads the Patriots in touchdowns and is doing exactly that utility workman like job that he did for the Bills so well. Just got too pricey because of his expertise in that third wide receiver role, and so it's an interesting outside matchups. A lot of it's going to depend on, without Dorian Strong, it's clearly going to be Trey White and Benford on the outside. And we will see. I believe having seen, Vrabel against the Bills in the past, they're going to target who they believe is the weakest link outside at corner. And so whoever is lined up against Trey White is going to get a lot of targets.
Can we talk about weakest link for a second? And this is going to sound like Christian Benford slander, and I don't mean it to be. I'm on the record with Christian Benford all around is probably the best, if not one of the top three best defensive players on the squad. This is going to sound like slander, right? But we talk about weak link in the pass game. JJ, Christian Benford this season has the worst passer rating allowed when he is targeted as the nearest defender out of the entire CB room. And he's already given up 4 touchdowns this season in coverage as compared to 4 all of last season. His passer rating allowed is 121.4 compared to last season, which was 82.6. Teams are not afraid to go after him in clear passing downs. And I just wonder. If when you say like they're going to go after the guy, they're going to go after the guy who is the weakest link, I wonder if they're not going to test Benford early on with Diggs to see what they can get out of this Buffalo's Bills defense in the passing game. I just wonder if Benford is not so much an island in this game, and I wonder if he is going to be fair game for Josh McDaniels in this overall scheme.
It's a reasonable thing to wonder. I think most Bills fans have been disappointed. He looks like a guy who's playing with an injury, but we know there's nothing going on there. In terms of his hesitancy, he's not attacking routes in the same way that he has in the past. His press coverage has not been as rock solid as we know it can be and has been. And so I really, it's the kind of thing where it's like, okay, Christian Benford, here's your chance to prove your money, not just in run support and run blitzes, but in your coverage snaps. And I think that if they do, I like Christian Benford so much, I hope he sees this as an opportunity to kind of prove his merit and prove his mettle. And the only way he's going to do that and scare quarterbacks off of throwing into his coverage is if he gets a couple of picks, right? Like, he needs to have a game where he is aggressively defending the football and not allowing completions into his coverage, not just being the closest defender and tackling soundly. Because to this point, I think that's the only thing he's been offering this defense is the ability to tackle soundly and provide some run support.
I wonder, part of this too, JJ, is, and we as Bills fans, we kind of asked for this, what I'm about to say. I wonder too, is if because the Bills are going through what to me feels like a schematic overhaul, right? They're no longer locking down a nickel. I mean, I think they played nickel like 90.8% of their snaps last season. This year, they've only rolled out nickel at about a 66% clip on all defensive play calls. They are asking their DBs to crash down even more than they normally do and run defense because the Buffalo Bills cannot stop the run. Christian Benford is on pace to have about 34% more run stops from his position at cornerback than he did last season. And the Bills are blitzing a whole lot more. So we've seen Benford on an island in man coverage a lot more this season. I wonder if this is, I wonder if the issue with Benford is not necessarily the player, because to your point, he looks healthy. I wonder if the hesitance is because everyone on that defense is adapting to a schematic change. By the way, the schematic change we have been all been asking for years, and now this is what it looks like as you try to adapt on the fly. I wonder, too, if they're adapting to the fact that they're playing a lot more young guys on defense that are not necessarily owning their roles. You've got Cole Bishop, who looks like he's ascending, but he's a second-year player. And last year, he didn't put much great stuff on tape. You've got two interior defensive linemen that are having a really hard time getting to the QB, with the exception of Walker in a couple of key places, but consistent pressure on the QB from the interior, which is something the Bills have been trying to build towards for years. And he's been playing opposite a lot of times a rookie sixth-round pick in Dorian Strong as the CB2. We saw Strong and White platoon a lot against New Orleans. I just wonder if because of the high variance of some of the players on the squad, and because this Bills team has been missing key pieces as they've gone through a schematic overhaul, I just wonder if some of Christian Benford's struggles are more finding his fit with the way the Bills want to play this defense now.
Well, I think if you think about it, I think you're onto something, because I've also had watching the Bills all 22 film on defense. What I see is that their play design is often this person is going to be left solo and this corner is going to be in like a split mix match zone. I think that the intention and design of their defense is to have Maxwell Hairston play the Christian Benford role. Yes. as a more elite physical talent. And kind of somebody who has the traits, just the physical traits. Yeah, I know he's young in the league, and we have no idea what he's going to be like as an NFL starter. But I think that Hairston looks to be the type of player who can play that role in this scheme better, and that leaves Benford in the Trey White role of more zone, half zone reads, more run support and run coverage towards the strong side of the defense. And I think he'd be exceptional in that, because he has looked, like you have mentioned, he's looked rough in the lockdown man island role. And so it seems like, in my regards anyway, it's like they planned a certain defensive aspect based on who they believe that they would be able to use in those roles. And then Hairston's injury kind of turned it upside down, and everyone's sort of playing out of position at this point.
That's a great assessment, dude. That's a great assessment. So I think, to kind of put a bow on this talk about the Bills defense against the Patriots offense, I think what I want to see is I want to see improvement for the defensive line. I have zero confidence that this squad can stop the run effectively, but I'd love to be proven wrong. But I think ultimately what I want to see, JJ, is improvement in winning one-on-one matchups. I want to see Joey Bosa with quality reps against Will Campbell, because we know he can get them. And I want to see the Bills actually keep contain and rush lane discipline against Drake May, because I cannot have my heart ripped out game after game watching a opposing QB scramble 15 yards for a first down on 3rd and 7 every single game. You know what I mean? Yeah, so I absolutely just want to see an improvement on QB containment, and I want to see the DBs like do what they can to lock up some of these wide receivers for New England and put Drake May in just a little bit of conflict.
Yep. Drake May's, you know, rating goes from a 115, 118 down to like 60 when pressured. So this is the game they need to pressure. Yes. They need pressure to show up more than they've ever have this season so far.
It's the key. It's going to absolutely be the key for them. All right. Let's switch gears, JJ. Let's talk about this Bills offense against this New England Patriots defense that, again, very solid, has some pieces that I think are going to be problematic for the Bills for sure. But ultimately a defense that's still putting it together under how Vrabel wants to run it. So JJ, what are some of your keys here?
I think that they need to try to run at the corners. They need to secure the interior. That the defensive line is good. Harold Landry has always been excellent at setting the edge. Kayla Von Chason came on after bouncing around a little bit and being a high draft pick, has come on recently and looked like a solid run defender. Christian Barmore and Milton Williams in the middle, you're not really going to get the gaps you want, especially with somebody as small as James Cook kind of running into the teeth of that defense in the center. So you got to secure the edges, the pin pull concepts, some of the zone concepts, use the physicality of the offensive line in terms of their ability to pull and to seal edges and get James Cook towards the outside, or, hey, Ray Davis, you've looked like absolute garbage trash this year. Maybe you get a chance to run off the, you know, off tackle or off guard in some gap schemes this game and not be tackled upon somebody breathing on you too heavy. My criticism of Ray Davis is going to continue to be ruthless until he shows something. He's been bad. And so really it's a situation where, you know, the story of the Bills offense for me always is like, you know, that team might be good in this, good in that. The Bills are the only team with Josh Allen. So like that's, you know, if that's braggadocious, whatever. I just don't see a lot of skill for the Patriots outside of their defensive interior line. Spillane and Ellis in linebacker, okay. Marcus Jones is an awesome return man, but a kind of sloppy slot corner. And so, and then they're playing a rookie in Craig Woodson at safety, a fourth rounder, opposite Jalen Hawkins. They're doing everything they can possibly do to try to keep Kyle Duggar off the field, which I think is peculiar because we both liked him and he was looking good and they paid him a crap ton of money, but he has not been in favor with this defensive personnel. So it's a lot. It's I would say, you know, the Bills' best bet is of course game script. You have to get these guys tired. You got to have long sustained drives, and probably the best route to do that would be the short to intermediate passing game with Josh Allen. You got to hold up in coverage long enough to get those between 5 and 15 yard completions.
Yeah, this offense, dude, in the passing game has been so compressed. It's been so compressed. And despite that, the Buffalo Bills are number one in the league in EPA per dropback when they play at 11 personnel. I think if there was a game where you were to utilize play action on early downs to your advantage, it would be this game. I mean, listen, the Buffalo Bills are seeing man coverage at a 47% clip this season. That's like ninth highest in the league right now. And the New England Patriots, they play man coverage at about 47% of their defensive snaps. You know you're going to get one-on-one matchups, right? You know you're going to have the opportunity to attack downfield. I just want to see the Bills stop voluntarily keeping the game so close to the line of scrimmage and making it easy on the opposing defense. You've got Christian Gonzalez on one side. You've got Carlton Davis on the other side. They are both capable corners of locking down whoever you put on the outside, be it Josh Palmer, who has not been a separation god this season as previously advertised, and Keon Coleman on the outside. So give me Khalil Shakir in the slot, give me James Cook out of the backfield, and give me Dalton Kincaid on some play-action shots downfield, and let's see what we can do to put this defense in conflict, because the Patriots are going to line up in configurations that you should be able to exploit schematically. That, again, it just seems to take Brady so long to ramp up to those concepts in game. Just put the pedal to the metal a little bit quicker, and let's get this game script in our favor.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that's exactly right. I think that the Bills defense is going to be at its absolute best, even though it's been a poor defense through four games. It's going to be its absolute best if they know that Drake May has to pass it. If they know that the Patriots are feeling pressure by the time on the clock or the number on the scoreboard, feeling the pressure to have to drop back and pass it, that's when the Bills will be able to dial up some interesting coverages and some interesting pressures, which we think, is the core philosophy of their defense, is to use use Josh Allen on defense, right? Make exactly. The other team know that they have to do something with urgency in order to keep up. Because then you can kind of wreak havoc. Turnovers, you know, there's a reason that Sean McDermott led defenses 10 years in a row, our top 10 in turnover rate and percentage. And that, you know, it's because the design is we're going to be front runners and we're going to make you make mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it all starts with this offense, especially if the defense does give them the ball back early on in the game, not squandering that opportunity like they did against Miami and like they did against New Orleans as well. So Drake May, he's not afraid to play in Buffalo.
No.
His first start last season, first drive, takes them right down the field on a 6-play touchdown scoring drive. And Hunter Henry, who are we going to have that's going to guard Hunter Henry, right? So listen, the Bills got to get this game script in their favor, and that means the offense has got to find its flow and its rhythm early, and it's got to keep its foot on the gas. Absolutely.
Really hope Spencer Brown is back for this one.
Yeah, me too. Ryan Vandermark is a solid player, but not a starting caliber player yet. Right. And even though even though I worry about Harold Landry, but the pass rush edge spots for this New England Patriots team are not great, but they are solid enough to give a player like Vandermark a little bit of issue. So We'll see. Vandermark looked great in run blocking. Like that is that dude's bread and butter.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting because Vandermark is also he's a pure natural left tackle. And so I think that if he had to fill in for Deion Dawkins, it would look quite a lot different and better than, you know, his filling in for Spencer Brown. I think on left tackle, the drop-off is a lot less for Vandermark.
Without a doubt. All right, JJ, anything else here about this offensive matchup against the Patriots? You want to get to predictions sure to go wrong?
Let's go to predictions.
All right, here we go, dude. This game, you know, the spread on this has been interesting. It opened up at 9.5, which I found offensive. Vegas, love you guys. Please stop giving the Bills these giant spreads.
It's ridiculous.
I don't understand it at all. I thought this game would have been 6.5, maybe, right? Something like that. 8.5 points is just, it's right now, it is offensive. This spread did get down earlier in the week, JJ, to about 7.5 points, which tells you that there was some public money going on the Patriots. Then as we got into injury reports, Milton Williams has been limited for the Patriots. That line shot back up to about 8.5%. Over under 49.5. I am absolutely taking the over in this game.
Mm-hmm.
JJ, where are you at? Final score.
So I think that I am hitting over as well. I think it's a Bills win. But I think it's contrary to my opening remarks about the nail biter that the Bills lose or an absolute blowout. I think it's a nail biter. The Bills win 31-28.
There you go. Every time I pick the Bills to not score 30, they score 30. We're going to continue that trend. I've got Bills 27, Patriots 24. I think, and again, what I'm looking for is a clean, competitive game. I want to see the Bills improve in some of those key areas that we talked about, particularly with just pass rush efficacy against a QB and Drake May, who is excellent, but takes a lot of sacks still. And I want to see them keep May in the pocket, right? Because I'm not saying May is a bad pocket passer. I'm saying you cannot let May get out and rush do that scramble drill that he is so adept at, particularly on third and longs. So just maintain pocket discipline, please, for the love of God, Buffalo Bills defensive line, and I will be happy. And then Joe Brady, dial up some of these shot plays off of play action and early downs a little bit earlier than the fourth quarter, please. That's all I'm asking for. All I'm asking for.
Yeah.
All right. Any prop bets, JJ, out of you?
I've got three, but I'll hit you with them really fast. Khalil Shakir, over under half touchdown. Christian Benford, over under half interception. With Milton Williams saying that Josh Allen will absolutely not get past us. Josh Allen, over under 49.5 yards rushing.
I'm going to take the over on Khalil Shakir. I think he does get a touchdown.
Okay.
And I mean, listen, for this everybody eats mantra that the Bills have been rolling out there, which I love and appreciate, their top three leading receivers by yardage are exactly who you would expect it to be. It's Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakir, and Dalton Kincaid. So those three guys have been the primary go-to for Josh this season. So I think Shakir, and I got to have it moment, absolutely gets a touchdown. Christian Benford, no. I'm going to say no, just because, I mean, I'd like to see it. But again, to our point earlier, whether it's schematic, whether he's dealing with an undisclosed injury, just not there overall right now in the way the Bills want to run this defense. And he's never been a massive turnover machine. He had only had two picks last year to four TDs given up. So I'm going to say no, Benford doesn't get a pick. And then Josh Allen over under. It's hard not to take the over in this particular scenario because I think they're going to need it. I think they're going to need a break glass in case of emergency Josh Allen performance where he takes over with his arm and with his legs as well.
Yep. All right. Well, I like it. And I just want to see him stiff arm Milton Williams, which is like not a thing you really want to do. Like, but we've
That's
seen
not we've a seen thing a Josh human Allen
stiff arm Aaron Donald, which was before that moment in time, not observed in the scientific universe. So.
This is true. This is true. Yeah, I think teams have been doing such a good job of locking down Josh on his unscripted scrambles. Like his, I talked about this last pod, but his rush yards over expected is in negative territory after 4 weeks because teams are really keying in on him. And I think the Patriots are going to do the same thing, but I'm fine with that because Josh has also been a surgeon passing the ball too. You just got to get some of these wide receivers open, which play action on early downs would help with Joe Brady. All right. I'm done with that. All right. I got one prop for you, but it's on the Patriots side of things. All right. Drake May over under 275.5 pass yards in this particular game.
Ooh. 275. Yikes.
It'd be a lot. And listen, May, for all of his effectiveness this season, I mean, he's had up and down performances. He absolutely was, you know, nails against Carolina, but that's Carolina and they're pretty beat up right now. Did not play well against Pittsburgh early on in the season and did not play well against Oakland.
I'm going to give a hat tip to Bills Mafia on this one. And I say he's going to be under because I think the operation of that offense is going to be difficult in the hostile territory that is Highmark Stadium. Because of what the, you know, 12th man, what Bills Mafia brings to the table. So I think that in a neutral field, I probably would be smashing the over, but because he's going to be playing at the Bills house on Sunday night. So all of Bills Mafia has, you know, dozen hours to get kind of juiced up before that game and tailgating, right? I think that this one it's a divisional matchup. It's in the Bills Stadium. It's Sunday Night Football. With all of those things compiled, I think it's a hard road for him to get close to 300 yards passing. So yeah. I'm hitting the under. How about you?
I'm also going to take the under, not because of a lack of faith in Drake May. You know, because they have Marcus Jones in the return game, the Patriots have actually benefited from really positive starting field position, right? And the Buffalo Bills special teams has not been reliable, and we're rolling out our third punter of the season this year. I think it's going to be under, but not because Drake May is going to be bad. I think it's going to be because the Patriots are going to have some pretty favorable field position in this game. That's going to get them some really great opportunities to take some shots at the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. And I mean, it's also worth noting that with the kind of horrible looking impact on Johnston last week and the signing of Mitch Wishnowski, the Bills are basically leaning into this, and it's probably just because of who's available, but they've only been, you know, rolling with Australian punters this season. So, you know, are there any really good New Zealand, you know, Kiwi punters out there? Like, let's just keep this South Pacific thing going.
I had no idea that was the case. I love that.
Yeah, they're both Australian. Where they grew up playing Australian rules football. Both of the punters the Bills have signed this season.
Wild stat of the day. Wild stat of the day. I can't believe you sat on it till the end of the pod. That's impressive. Impressive strength.
most important position on the field too, right? Punter. So
there you go. It should have been a feature at the lead of this pod. But yeah, man. Yeah, no. I think under overall for sure.
Well, and what's funny is I feel like if Wishnowski gets like hurt too, I feel like the Bills move might just be like save the roster spot for some of these guys coming off of, you know, and just have Josh Allen throw the punts, right? Like, all right, dude, drop back, have have the long snapper snap you a ball and just throw it as far as you can. And then they catch it.
Picked.
Yeah, exactly. Let it get picked. Call it. He'll have like 20 interceptions on the season. But if people dig into it, they'll realize, oh, it's because the Bills abandoned the normal punting game and just had Josh Allen throw arm punts for half the year.
It's basically what that pick was he threw against New Orleans.
Like
yeah,
third and 17 or something like that. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. Shoot, dude. I'm looking forward to this game, but man, I'm going to be watching this game with Brandon, our friend of the pod, friend of the Bills. Noted Patriots expert. We're going to be sitting down at his house. We're going to be watching the game. It's going to be cool. it's going to be a fun affair. I'll have my notebook out and taking notes ready for the recap of this for sure.
Good deal.
Awesome. All right. For all of you listening at home, like, share, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We are on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, and as always, go Bills.
Go Bills.